A missing F-22 Raptor has been found in Alaska. If you walk away for an hour, do another pre-flight. And the airlines say the FAA blew it on crew rest rules. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, November 18, 2010. Officials at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Alaska reported yesterday afternoon that search crews have located what appears to be the wreckage of a missing F-22 Raptor about 100 miles north of Anchorage. Contact between the plane and air traffic control was lost at 7:40 p.m. local time Tuesday evening as a pair of the fighters returned from a training mission. Colonel Jack McMullen, 3rd Wing Commander, says about 10:15 a.m. yesterday, an Alaska Air National Guard helicopter found a site that fit the data and description of where rescuers thought the mishap probably occurred. That chopper couldn't land at the site, so another was being dispatched. The name of the pilot was being withheld until his condition is determined. Watch aero-news.net for updates. In the case of a King Air that came down short of the runway a year ago at Greenville-Spartanburg International Airport in South Carolina, the National Transportation Safety Board has officially called it a case of fuel exhaustion. On November 9, 2009, the pilot conducted a pre-flight before an avionics shakedown and visually confirmed 740 pounds of Jet A on board, enough for an hour and 10 minutes of flight. He said he left the plane out of his sight to go wait for technicians and didn't recheck the fuel before departing. Unfortunately, while he was away, two mechanics put the plane through a 45-minute ground engine run and left it sitting with empty aux tanks and 200 pounds in each of the main tanks. The pilot says they must have left the FMS turned off because the fuel totalizer still showed plenty of fuel, and he didn't check the actual fuel gauges before takeoff. NTSB notes the B-200's pilot operating handbook warns that takeoff should not be attempted with the fuel gauge needles in the yellow arc or indicating less than 265 pounds in each main tank. The plane was extensively damaged, and the pilot and both passengers were seriously injured. Investigators also discovered that covers had been put on both seats for maintenance, and the shoulder harnesses were still underneath them, apparently unused. The Air Transport Association of America this week submitted its official comments on the FAA's proposed flight crew member duty and rest requirements. ATA President James May says the industry strongly supports improved safety, but, quote, "We are very concerned that significant aspects of the proposed rule are not science-based," unquote. He says the rule, if implemented as written, quote, "would create onerous and duplicative regulations, which in major respects do not mitigate fatigue or increase safety. This significant operational and scheduling complexity will adversely affect our crews and customers," unquote. He also says the FAA's impact assessment is off by a factor of 15 or more, showing the FAA lacks understanding of how airlines operate. May called on FAA to work with the airlines and other interested parties to fashion a rule based on scientific research and operational factors. Up next on ANN, airlines aren't needing Boeing's help with credit. Open Skies records its 100th agreement, and a Russian company will answer a Pentagon RFP. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 18th. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing's marketing VP, Randy Tinseth, tells Reuters that airlines are starting to buy their airliners without the need for financing help from Boeing. The company set aside a fund of $500 million in case its buyers needed loans to take 2010 deliveries, and quote, "I'm not sure if any of that has been used," unquote. Tinseth notes that much of the $1 billion set aside for loans to customers in 2009 did get used and has since been repaid by airlines. The International Air Transport Association predicts airlines worldwide will emerge from last year's $10 billion loss to post a composite profit of $8.9 billion this year. Colombia became the United States' 100th Open Skies partner last week. U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood hailed the agreement as a major milestone in American aviation history. Quote, "Since the first Open Skies agreement was reached with the Netherlands in 1992, nations all over the world have come to recognize the benefits of a free market in international aviation services. Travelers, shippers, airlines, and economies all over the world have benefited from the competitive pricing and more convenient service that Open Skies have made possible," unquote. Negotiations were completed last Thursday in Bogota. Once Open Skies takes full effect at the end of 2012, routes, destinations, and prices will respond to consumer demand and market conditions. Restrictions on all cargo flights will be lifted immediately, with additional passenger services phased in over the next 2 years. The U.S. government issued an RFP in July seeking bids for 21 Mi-171 helicopters to support its anti-terrorism campaign in Afghanistan. On Monday at Airshow China, Rosoboron Export, Russia's state-run arms exporter, said it plans to compete for that contract. The Russian news agency RIA Novosti reports that Alexander Mikheyev, deputy general director of Rosoboron Export, said his agency was ready to offer Afghanistan a full package, including the aircraft and technical assistance. Rosoboron Export was blacklisted by the U.S. government in 2006 for allegedly violating nuclear non-proliferation rules, but those sanctions were lifted this past May. Even while the sanctions were in place, the U.S. reportedly bought several dozen of the Mi-171 helos from the Russian government through intermediaries. The Mi-171 is a variant of the Mi-8 helicopter, which Russia builds specifically for the export market. Still ahead, TSA's pistol says the frisking will continue. An author of the TSA bill has had a change of heart. And the opt-out folks want to force the airlines to get involved. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, November 18th. I'm Paul Platt. If California resident and TSA groping protester John Tyner felt uncomfortable in his Saturday encounter with the TSA in San Diego, it was TSA Chief John Pistol's turn to be uncomfortable yesterday, testifying on the controversy before the U.S. Senate. Pistol defended both the AIT scanners and the enhanced pat-downs, saying he'd been through the new pat-down himself before signing off on its deployment nationwide. There was great hope Pistol's FBI background would equip him with an appreciation for intelligence-based techniques to identify passengers who pose threats. Instead, it seems only to have desensitized him to the idea of frisking people. He apparently looks on anyone buying an airline ticket as a suspect. The national debate, unfortunately, has come down to security versus privacy. Lost in that argument is the reality that the new techniques are ineffective, wasting billions of dollars on a process that makes airports an awful place for law-abiding citizens and no real obstacle to actual terrorists. Regarding Tyner and the threat from San Diego TSA Lieutenant Michael Aguilar of heavy fines, Pistol told the Washington Post, quote, "I don't want to prejudge anything other than to say I don't expect anything to come of that," unquote. Tyner responded, quote, "Based on what he said, it doesn't seem that he and the gentleman that gave the press conference at Lindbergh Field," referring to Aguilar, "are on the same page. It is certainly good news that he doesn't expect that a case will be brought, but I'm not convinced that I'm out of the woods just yet," unquote. Florida Republican Congressman John Mica is expressing disgust with the Transportation Security Administration that he voted to create. He's upset enough to have sent a letter to 150 airports around the country reminding management that individual airports have the power under law to opt out of TSA and return to private security. The letter sounds a little naive when Micah states, quote, "When TSA was established, it was never envisioned that it would become a huge, unwieldy bureaucracy, which was soon to grow to 67,000 employees, unquote. Really? Never envisioned by whom? Micah admits security measures now in use are security theater. He tells the Washington Examiner, quote, "It's a big kabuki dance," unquote. Regarding airports opting out of TSA, Micah and others in Congress point out that the government will pay the bill whether federal employees or private security contractors are used, and private contractors have been found to do a marginally better job. Micah is the likely chair of the House Transportation Committee when the new Republican-controlled House of Representatives convenes in January. And finally today, the airline industry has not yet been aggressively engaged in the public conversation about TSA's invasive new techniques, which is a little surprising considering the potential impact on the industry. The organizers of next week's Wednesday opt-out day are trying to change that. The protest urges travelers to avoid the airlines completely if you can, and if you must fly, opt out of the AIT scans in favor of pat-downs to maximize the delays. On the group's website, wewon'tfly.com, organizers advocate boycotts of the airlines and other tourism-dependent businesses to force them to join the fight. Quote, "If you can avoid flying, don't fly. Hit the airlines in the pocketbook until the scanners and gropers are gone. Make the airlines work for us. Raise holy hell. Register your disapproval of the scanners and gropers to your airline, your hotel, and all government officials who claim to work for you. Educate your community," unquote. The site also solicits stories of encounters with the new techniques. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Joanne and Sandy Hill of Master Instructors LLC tell us the story behind the new Master CFI helicopter accreditation, which will become available in the next few days. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.